Joining me in the studio is our wonderful host of the Tuesday Daily program, Tess Connery. Tess, good morning.
Morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us. Yeah, Pauline Hanson's speech, getting a lot of coverage.
It's absolutely everywhere. And the other part of that that I've seen all over the headlines is the Greens actually getting up and leaving. They just walked out while she was speaking.
Yeah, it is a curious one, the Greens coming out. I mean, a few people have said they did the right thing. You know, these views, if you don't agree with them, just ignore them. But a few other people are sort of saying, well, maybe these views do need to be debated. They need to be challenged. And so, therefore, you should stay in the building, stay in the room and actually challenge her on some of these points. I don't know. I'm not really of one mind on that argument.
No, I can see both sides. And I mean, on a personal level, my politics do align a lot more with the Greens than One Nation. But at the end of the day, I think that can you imagine if every time that something was said in Parliament that somebody else didn't agree with, they just got up and left? I feel like you'd get nothing done. I see their point, but I don't see it being a very constructive way of dealing with it.
Mm. Well, like I say, we're not here to kvetch about Pauline Hanson, Malcolm Roberts' speeches. We're looking at a few of the other ones that might have been lost to the wash. So what do you got for me?
Yeah, so straight up after Pauline Hanson was the new Labor Senator for the Northern Territory, we have Yanyuwa Garawa woman Malandiri McCarthy. She's actually replacing Nova Peris. And this here is a bit of what she had to say.
And I say these next sentences without any disrespect to those of you, but I urge parliamentarians in both houses to understand this. The Yanyuwa are a people whose struggle for country and recognition took nearly 40 years. And so many elders died well before such recognition, and most importantly, any respect ever took place. Such long drawn-out legal battles have wearied families, many families of so many First Nations peoples, constantly trying to defend their sense of self and identity and country, who have fought for land rights. And maybe that was the intention, I don't know. Battle fatigued, perhaps maybe better to acquiesce. But we're still here and we're not going to go away. So I fully understand the impatience and in some cases total rejection felt by so many First Nations people towards the Australian Parliament's push for recognition. It is a difficult pill to swallow as First Peoples to yet again have to ask others to respect us, our place, our culture, our families in this country, when we know we have been here well over 60,000 years.
Now, she went on to encourage the members of Parliament to formulate a real plan for the Northern Territory, though, so it could be, well, developed further and the voices of more First Nations peoples could in fact be heard.
Which is a really, really important issue, but she did touch on several issues as well. Another one that's been very, very making the headlines recently, the plebiscite and the identity of LGBT plus people. She did get very personal at one point as well, actually. She mentioned a young cousin sister she referred to who was really struggling with her identity as a lesbian in the strong traditional Aboriginal culture. She spoke about her outward spirit being really full of fun and laughter, but inside suffocating from the inability, I guess, to find balance in her cultural worldview, and just absolutely colliding up against the expectations of her culture and I guess the broader Australian society as a whole. And speaking at the end, really tragically, at 23, this cousin sister did choose to end her life, which is absolutely terrible. So it's a really important issue that does float around a lot, I guess, in the light of the plebiscite and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, she did end saying, stay strong, I stand here with you, which is a really powerful message.
Yeah, very important issue to be talking about in light of the plebiscite, in light of some of the mental health concerns around the plebiscite. Now, in a related sort of topic, another MP speaking for the first time was the new Liberal MP for Barara, Julian Lisa, who wanted to address the state of mental health in the country. So, got a little clip from him here.
As a child, the sound of my mother's footsteps coming towards my bedroom to wake me in the morning was a reassuring feature of daily life. Inevitably, I was awake before she made the door, but the rhythm, the sound and the intensity of her walk were unmistakable. Each morning, the moment would arrive when she'd fling the door open with that effervescent greeting, "Time to rise and shine." 20 years ago this month, my mother approached my room to wake me, but it was with a very different sound, pace and tempo. Seared on my mind from that night was the speed of her approach and her scream as she flung the door open of my bedroom, sobbing, "Dad's gone, Dad's gone." I got up from my bed to comfort my mum, trying to calm her. I went down the hall to my father's office, where he worked late into the night for his clients. There I found his pyjamas in a pile, and on the glass-topped table in the hall was a note. Like so many of the notes from my father, written in red pen on the back of a used envelope. It said simply, "I'm sorry, Sylvia, I just can't cope. Love, John." I felt a great emptiness ripping at my stomach. I went to the garage and saw the car was missing. We called the police, and later they came round to tell us they'd found my father's body at the bottom of the gap at Watson's Bay.
So a really powerful personal anecdote when it comes to addressing the state of mental health, the state of depression here in Australia. And that's, as he says, 20 years ago, but father took his life 20 years ago at the age of only 55 years old. So obviously really, really serious in the modern age as well. And in this 20 years, what have we sort of done about it?
Well, it's a really powerful story, but it could so easily be the story of someone today.
Mm.
And for it to be happening 20 years ago, it's a really, really powerful passage of time, I guess, with that one. He did go on to say, suicide, they used to say, is a victimless crime, but they never count the loved ones left behind. And spoke about how, as a member of the house, he wants to do what he can to help. The quote is, I guess, pierce the loneliness, the desperation, and the blackness that people who do suffer depression feel, which is a very noble cause, a really, really important issue in this country.
Mm.
And finally, I guess we're going to be hearing from new Labour member for Cowan, Anne Ali, the first female Muslim MP elected to the House of Reps. She began her first speech by invoking the Islamic festival of Eid al-Fitr and speaking of Egypt, the country where she was born.
I was born in a part of the world where the passing of time is marked by war, and where the birth of a girl child is greeted not with ululations or congratulations, but by the clicking of tongues. But it's not the circumstances of my birth that define me. I was not born in this country, but I am surely born of her.
Something really lost in the swamp of coverage around Pauline Hanson's, fairly ratings-grabbing speech. Hopefully it might make it seem, as much as it might seem at times that we are moving backwards in some of these areas, the wheel of progress does keep turning, as it were.
Well, I suppose, yeah, we've had three examples just there of some really brilliant people in the parliament talking about their life and other things that they aim to achieve, whereas, all the coverage really has just been directed to this one person who, I guess, I don't know, it seems a little bit out of whack, I guess, the balance in the different coverages. But, and as we did mention, if anything that we've mentioned today has brought up some issues with you in terms of mental health issues, you can give Lifeline a call. 13 11 14 is the number. They do some brilliant work and they are there 24/7.
Tess, thank you very much.
Thanks, Sean.
Tess there, our regular Tuesday Daily host, joining us in the studio and having a bit of a chat about some of these parliamentary speeches that haven't really gotten quite the coverage of the One Nation senators, let's say. Not saying the coverage is wrong, just saying perhaps the coverage is coming across a little bit unbalanced in the mainstream at the moment. Alex McKinnon wrote a great piece for SBS's The Feed. We were sourcing some of those grabs and quotes from that one there. Really great article. I would encourage you to check that out on The Feed's website.